The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1023. It's the 21st of March, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Lawrence Reed, Executive Director of Ferrum Crescent, that's FCR, soon to change its name to Europa Metals Limited. And Lawrence discusses the conditional equity fundraising to raise approximately £1 million gross for Toral Lead Zinc Project in Spain. Also on the podcast, James Campbell, Managing Director of Botswana Diamonds, BOD is the ticker there, B-O-D. And James talks through some of the highlights from their interim results released today and also some of the things going forward, progress they're making there. Plus, John Mayer, a mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about Georgian Mining Corporation, that's GEO ticker, and also talks about vanadium, a very hot commodity at the moment. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Lawrence Reed, Executive Director of Ferrum Crescent. That's FCR ticker. Lawrence, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure, Justin. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I say Ferrum Crescent. It won't be Ferrum Crescent for long because you are changing the name. What are you changing the name to?
Europa Metals. So subject to shareholder approval, we're going to leave all that ferrous stuff behind. You know, we're doing valuable metals in Europe, politically stable regions, near infrastructure, and we're targeting things like lead, zinc and silver in Toral. And that's what the story is. No point being called Ferrum Crescent anymore.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, before we get into the news, as well, the name change you mentioned, you've done a fundraise, and you're also hoping to develop this project along with that money. Before we get into the detail of that, just explain for people, you know, what you're about, if you could, Lawrence.
Well, this is a major turnaround story with a fantastic asset. So what we're doing is we're bringing the value in the asset, which is lead zinc, and as we report it for the first time in January of this year, silver. So we have 16 million tonnes, 6.9% zinc equivalent, and 25 grams per tonne silver. And the reason that's exciting is that we have a project which has scale and grade. And the reason why that's exciting is because this is the type of project which people might actually want to buy. Okay, this is the type of project which actually attracts people interested in lead and zinc and associated metals. So we're going to be doing lots of work, not drilling it out endlessly. That's not the point of it. Clever work to show that this can produce robust economics and produce saleable concentrates. So we're going to be doing two streams. The news flow, obviously, always the investors always updating you, but we've got these streams of work are about giving us a platform to talk to industry, to talk to the people who, frankly, don't give a toss about AIM listed companies of any description, but they care very deeply about available metals.
Okay, excellent stuff. All right, well, let's get into the news. And you conditionally raised £1 million, which, got to point out, is a big chunk of money for a company which is the size, previous to this, was £2.7 million. So, exactly, take us through the raising and what it's hoping to do, if you could, Lawrence.
No, absolutely. Well, I might address up front, yes, £1 million is a lot in comparison to our share price, but, you know, Miles Campy and I joined as executive directors in Q4 of last year. We brought Colin Bird in, who's a shareholder, as our chairman. We made lots of changes. We ripped up the exploration plan. We redid how we were going to approach this resource. We went down and discovered this massive amount of core, which belonged to us that nobody had ever seen before. And we produced a JORC 2012 resource in January for practically no money whatsoever by doing the right work. Now, we can't keep doing that. We have to do a proper work program. And we can't keep, I mean, the old Ferrum Crescent was about raising dribs and drabs of money for various reasons, not worth going into. What we've done is we've shown people we can deliver something real. We've delivered a proper JORC resource. You know, this thing has huge potential. But now we're saying, We've got a defined work program all the way up to the end of the year, and we're looking at drilling a long strike. So if you can see, I think we've put a presentation out there. Sorry, boring. This is very bad radio, Justin. But on page 16, you can see our strike extension target area. Now, we're not going to drill the hell out of it. We're just going to be putting drill holes in there to hopefully intersect resource to show the trending pattern. But if we do that and we intersect lead, zinc, and hopefully silver, we will be able to expand the JORC 2012 resource. But we're also going to be throwing a scoping study around this. There is no point just drilling things. There is no point doing anything unless it's actually got a purpose, unless you're actually trying to say, this might actually be a mine. Let's look at what the costs look like. And there's lots of exciting things to look at in the scoping study. One of those things is the topography, which I might come to later if that's all right, which is really interesting. It is one of the key levers, I think, that's going to be for the potential to develop this into a mine. And the last thing is network. We're talking to a series of groups. When we put that JORC 2012 resource out, several groups approached us. We've also approached several groups. It's just the beginning of talking to industry partners or third-party groups. And pretty much everyone said, what does your MET look like? We don't have any MET. So we can't continue those conversations without having a bigger idea about adding scale and about what the MET, what the final concentrate products will look like. And we can take that MET data, and we can take the flow sheets, the flow charts we have on a mine very close to our license, and we can begin to build up a real picture to show to third parties about this is what it can look like. It's economically viable, or at least that's what I'm hoping to be able to say. But we need to test it. There's no other choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go into, I mean, you mentioned there the old Ferrum Crescent, and you are changing your name because Ferrum has had, you know, it's been a bit tainted, I think. It's got a bit of a bad rep, you know, in amongst private investors. So, I mean, are you saying this is a new, you mentioned turnaround story. Are you saying this is a new sort of Ferrum Crescent, or the new name you're using there, but it's a new company pretty much, and it shouldn't be looked upon in the same way as it was?
Yes. There is no point changing your name if you haven't done anything and just saying we're a new company. And people were quite rightly going, you know, that's rubbish. And I can think of a couple of companies like that. So what I think has happened, Miles and I came on as execs. We changed the exploration program. We put out a JORC 2012 resource. We've changed how the geology on the ground is perhaps dealt with. We've built a database. All those block models you can see in our presentation, you know, that's been built through independent consultants and ourselves for the first time. You know, we've changed the board, new chairman, new company secretary. You know, I've been through this with you before, Justin, but, you know, we've done all of these things. We've brought on a new finance function. You know, we've cut costs massively so we can spend money on the ground. But we need to spend money on the ground. And this is what it's about. It's about Europa Metals. It's about this lead, zinc, and silver resource, which I think is highly attractive and has a long way to go. I'm trying to choose my words carefully, but I'm very excited about the 8 months because you've got three component parts to what we're going to be doing, and they all lead into, let's move this towards a PFS, let's move this towards a BFS, let's make this into something which actually produces metal out of the ground.
Okay, all right, excellent. So you're moving towards a new company. Some people will say, okay, so if you're going to become a new company, why have you done a heavily sort of discounted placing and you've sort of diluted existing shareholders?
We've been out there in the market. We've been speaking, obviously, to people, Investor Roadshow. We will always fight for the least possible discount we can get, but we needed that amount of money to do a proper work program. So I can assure you the conversations that can be had, but we've really reached a point where we need to have these funds secured so we can do those three elements of work. You get to a point, I think, in an exploration project where you've either got to X or get off the pot. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, there's only so much small piecemeal work that you can do. So, you know, there aren't many options. Did you want us to raise a smaller amount of money for less of a discount or a price and effectively be able to do absolutely nothing with the asset? Probably not. Do you think that possibly myself and Miles think that we could have done anything with the asset without doing the met work, without doing the scoping study, without doing the strike extension work? And the answer is no. So there's no point raising £250 and then paying salaries and keeping everyone happy for the next year and then going back to do the same thing. It was decision time.
Yeah, okay. I understand. I mean, literally, you know, that £1 million, and I know because I've written a blog on it, FCR, I do hold some shares in Fram Crescent, or Europa Metals now it's called. And so obviously I'm not happy with the discount at all. But I see the comparisons with other companies, and you know the value of Fram Crescent is ridiculous compared to their valuations. So that £1 million, how long will it last? And this is impossible to say, but how much value are you hoping to unlock with that? So how long will it last so far?
Well, we think it will last up until the end of the year, if not beyond. But I think probably the work program is the most important thing. So to give you an idea, what we'll be looking at is drilling tender contracts, enhancement of operations, creating a new structure. We'll probably carry on using Addison Mining Services for some of the geological control work in terms of database, etc. So all the work done from now on is centralised and immediately processed. Then you're going to have probably commissioning of scoping study or tenders for scoping study. You're going to have mobilisation of drill rigs to site. I think there's a plan. Miles and I were talking just before this about when he's planning to go to Spain, but he's going to be walking the ground again to look at the placing of the first drill rigs. You can see a JORC 2012 resource. If we hit resource along strike, and exploration's always risky, but we certainly hope we're going to hit those strike areas and be able to add some tons up to date the JORC 2012. The exciting bit, though, I think for me, is the met work. Tie it into the scoping study, tying the new tons into the scoping study by the end of the year. So hopefully we're going to be having JORC 2012 resource out. You're going to be having individual results of the drill holes out. You're going to be having scoping study, yes, you're going to have the met results. Now, there's a number of different ways we could go about that, but the met's interesting because, again, we're going to be able to say this is the type of product we're going to be producing. And that has quite a lot of importance in terms of what we're going to be doing for the long term.
Yeah, okay. One other tough question for you, Lawrence. I mean, a lot of people like this, but did you or any other director take part in the placing? If not, why not?
No, certainly. Obviously, Colin's already, a shareholder and supported us in Q4. And he's quite rightly our chairman. Miles and I haven't put money into this project. We've foregone salaries in Q4 of last year, and we cut back on basically our salaries when we need to make sure that the company's going has the funds it needs to do the work it needs. And frankly, we're not all mining magnates, so we don't all have large amounts of available cash. So that's where we are. I accept that's something that the shareholders want to see. It's something I think about a lot. But at the moment, we've put a lot of sweat equity into it and we don't have a lot of spare cash. Sorry, I'm speaking for both of us, but that's from where I'm from.
Okay, all right. All right, excellent stuff. Have you any idea it's impossible to say, but, you can increase the resource and your scoping study and all that. What size of a resource you're looking for? Because I know, obviously, back in November, I think last year, there was that Lynx Resources, which had a 25 million ton. So resource was sold for $402 million, which is ridiculous. I mean, it was a producing mine, so you obviously have to...
It's not ridiculous, it's a brilliant price. One I wholeheartedly support, Justin.
Yeah. I mean, have you any idea where you want to try and get to with the resource size? Or is any? Or is it just guessing?
Oh, well, you know, as Miles and Colin aren't in the room, I'll tell you. No, only kidding. Listen, it's we're very happy with the size of resource we've got at the moment. Okay. I'm not going to give you a number, is the answer. But we've got scale and we've got grade. We do want to bung a bit more scale on it. Not so much, bear with me on this, not so much in terms of, if you like, the immediate resource that we can get from an eight-hole drilling program, all right? So even if we intersected, you know, great intersections with eight drill holes along that strike, yes, it would give us more resource, and that would be fantastic, and I think people respond very well from that. But what it would really do, actually, is demonstrate to a different audience that indeed Terrell runs along a strike. And the win wouldn't be, well, you've just added whatever tons onto your resource. The win would be, right, we can see the high grade areas existing already. We can see the amount of drill work that's done in the condensed zones, which you already have. And now we can see a clear indication that this strike, you know, expands in a relatively consistent manner to the east. So it's the potentiality that demonstrates for, yes, potentially us to do more work on it, or for another party to say, well, perhaps we could work with you on looking at exactly how big this is. Does that make some sense? It's not just about tons.
Yeah.
It's about giving an idea of what exactly Terrell is. And the point of it is that we think it's big.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, Lawrence, if people are listening right now and they're not following the story, but I've heard you, then give them three reasons why they should add you to their watch list, and by hitting that follow button on your page, please, if you could.
No, certainly. Well, listen, you just talked about Camel, Central Asian Metals, great people over there, know some of them, strong team, you know, the value on their asset, I think, is 402.5 million euros. So let's just listen to the numbers. Okay, so 402.5 million euros. So they've got 23.4 million tons at 7% zinc and lead, 24 grams per ton silver. Then you've got us, and they are mining. Absolutely, they're mining. But we've got 16 million tonnes at 6.9% zinc, lead, and 25 grams per tonne silver. And the other day, Miles turned to me and said, oh, well, you know, we're not actually mining. I said, well, fine, we'll take the 75% discount, you know, because this is a real asset. And you're standing on the shoulders of giants, in a sense, which I know is a bit corny. But we're not asking people to support us because we've done a bit of work and now it's time to drill. We're asking shareholders to support us because we've successfully interpreted the massive amount of drilling that's there. We've already produced results from the data we have, and we're asking for the opportunity to build on that data, to talk to groups so we can do something with this asset. And this could be a really significant asset. So that's my answer. Sorry if that's long-winded.
Okay, no worries. Lawrence, good to chat to you. And like I said, you've got a busy work plan on now, so hopefully we'll chat in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Justin, thanks for your time.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is James Campbell, Managing Director of Botswana Diamond. That's BOD ticker. James, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much indeed, Justin, for having me.
Now, you've just released your interim results for the 6 months ending the 31st of December, and we'll go through some of the highlights of that in a bit. Before we do, James, if someone's listening to this podcast right now and I've never heard of Botswana Diamonds, can you summarise what you're all about, please?
Yes, of course, Justin. Botswana Diamonds is a diamond exploration and development company, and as its name says, we are firmly focused on Botswana, which we believe to be the world's number one destination for diamonds, and as well in South Africa, which we believe to be a very close top destination for diamonds in the world.
Yeah, okay. So take us through then some of the highlights from the last 6 months, and take us through some of the work streams you've been processing and some of the progress you've been making, if you could, James.
Of course, Justin. We've just issued our interim statement this morning, and it illustrates the wide variety of work that Botswana Diamonds is doing on its portfolio of diamond projects across Botswana, and South Africa. If I start with South Africa, mm-hmm. our flagship project is one called the Thorny River Project, and that is close to the Klipspringer and Maasfontein diamond mines in the Limpopo province of South Africa. We've undertaken a lot of core drilling, percussion drilling, micro-diamond work, mineral chemistry, and at the end of the year, we concluded our project work there with a macro-diamond assessment. And then earlier this year, we, because of these results, kicked off a scoping study, which is looking at the potential commerciality of this project. Elsewhere in South Africa, we are currently drilling on the Ontevreden kimberlite in the Northwest province, and this follows positive geochemistry, geophysical and mineral chemistry results, and we plan to be issuing an update on the Ontevreden project in about 2 weeks' time. And then finally in South Africa, and this is further down the portfolio, in the Free State province, we've undertaken geochemistry and detailed geophysics on 8 kimberlites, and the next stage is to take samples for mineral chemistry, which will help us determine the diamond-bearing potential of the kimberlites.
Excellent.
And then in Botswana,
yep.
We've got two project streams there. The first one is with Alrosa in the Sunland Minerals Company, and we're currently undertaking our first half of the year field program on following up on a number of different anomalies. And then on the Maibri joint venture, which is a joint venture with BCL. BCL is in liquidation, and we've put several offers to the liquidator in terms of resolving the current corporate impasse.
You've got a lot going on for a company of, just above a 5 million market cap, James. And of course, some people would be asking, there's a lot of stuff going on here. How do you afford this? But you've raised money recently, didn't you?
That's correct. You know, we afford it through a number of different means. We raised £500,000 earlier, but we believe that in exploration, you do need a portfolio of projects, because in diamond exploration, there are 6,000 known kimberlites, of which 600 contain diamonds, of which only 60 have been or are diamond mines. So you do need that portfolio to kind of end up with that elusive diamond mine at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you told us a little bit about diamonds there. If someone's listening right now and have no idea about the diamond market, which I'm probably one of them, explain why diamonds then, James? And what's the potential? We all know them as the sparkling gems that every lady likes, apparently, and they're quite expensive. But what is the diamond market like?
Well, I think Justin, you've almost answered your own question there. Every lady loves a diamond. And indeed that you have a very strong diamond engagement market, a diamond wedding market, and then more and more a market where both men and ladies, gentlemen and ladies, are buying diamonds themselves. So what is the market like? If one looks at the Far East and the Middle East and the rise of the middle classes, one of the aspirational purchases is a diamond, particularly when it comes to the engagement ring. And there's been some superb advertising by De Beers and others to maintain the cost profile of 3 to 4 months gross salary on spending a diamond engagement ring. Now, if you look at diamond supply, the diamond supply is gradually diminishing because people are not finding new diamond projects. And with rising demand and lowering supply, it leads to a positive diamond price growth over time.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so like I said, you've got a lot going on there. So, but if someone was to say to you, okay, so what's your flagship project, or what's the next big bit of news you're likely to release? What would you say, James?
Well, there are four bits of news which we will be releasing within the next 3 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. Firstly, it'll be the scoping study results on Thorny River. Secondly, it'll be the drilling results on the farm Ontevreden. And thirdly, it'll be the mineral chemistry results on our Free State kimberlites. And then, of course, in Botswana, we'll be announcing the results of our H1 work program.
Excellent stuff. Okay, James, well, listen, if someone likes the sound of this, likes the sound of diamonds, and who doesn't, but are not following the story on Vox Markets, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Of course, Justin. Number one is Botswana and South Africa are two of the most prospective destinations for diamonds in the world. Secondly, Botswana Diamonds has a package of high-quality projects or a high portfolio of projects spanning the exploration pipeline from grassroots through to resource development. And thirdly, and very importantly, Botswana Diamonds has the team which developed the world-class AK6 kimberlite, now called Karowe Mine, host to some of the world's largest and most fabulous diamonds.
Excellent, James. Good to chat to you. And I've said it several times, but you've got lots going on, so, and lots of news forthcoming. So no doubt we'll chat again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You're right, John.
Yes, good form. Thank you.
Excellent stuff. Now, you're always punching out a good, in fact, very detailed email newsletter I get from you every day. And also, it's now been it's on Vox as well. And people see it on the blog there. But one of the things, I noticed you cover vanadium, which I was quite interested in. Maybe we'll chat quickly about that in a bit. But people have always said to me, since you've come on, you've covered Georgian mining. And they've also been in the podcast with Greg on several times. But they haven't been on for a while. And people are sort of, when there's no news in a company, people start to say, what's going on here? And the share price has sort of suffered somewhat. But there was news recently. They released some news, which was a work program and an MOU for production. When was that? On the 15th. And I scanned through it. It seemed okay, there's progress being made there. But the market didn't react positively. So can you take us through what's happening here? John, I know you're sort of in contact, and you can't say anything that's not been officially released. But what's the feeling? What's going on here?
Well, I have got more time with management later today, but the market reacted badly. I think the market started off on a bad foot when that press release came out, because there were a couple of sell orders going through the market at the time for unrelated reasons. They announced that they'd signed an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with their Russian joint venture partner. That is good news. The company tell me that the Russian partner is very keen to get cash flow as fast as possible from its Georgian operations and from the gold that comes from that that will come from the Kavermo Bonizi project. It's the joint venture partner is running out of ore from its own mine, so it really has a big need to get hold of this material as fast as it can. The Russian partner had been unreasonable in his negotiations, and they've been sitting down for long meetings with the joint venture partnership to thrash this out. And finally, they said to the Russian, "We either shut this down or we agree on something more sensible." So they have finally agreed to go through with the 50-50 joint venture as it was specified. Now, remember, Georgian Mining actually has operational control, and if they spend more money and the Russian doesn't contribute, then the Russian gets diluted down. And add to that the fact that the Georgian government is very much on the side of Georgian mining. They much prefer dealing with a straightforward UK-listed company rather than some slightly less straightforward Russians. So I think this is all going the right way for Georgian mining now. I think there's always potential for some more trickery and trouble there, but I think their bluff has been called, and we are fairly sure that they are desperate for the cash flow. So it's I think things are going to go well from here.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know you're a clever man, John, and you know your stuff. I'm not going to sort of ask you what private investors are thinking. That's almost impossible. But so why wasn't that news, the RNS, greeted warmly by the market? Why, we're now at one-year lows. I mean, I look at the chart here, and it's gone from 8 pence pretty much back in March of last year up to 25 pence or 24 pence there, topped out twice. Now it's back down to 8.8 pence. So why do you think that wasn't greeted with warmly by the market?
There was speculation on the bulletin boards, from what I've heard, that investors were not so confident in the strength of the MOU that was signed by Georgian. I think it's important to understand a certain amount about what was behind that MOU. And yes, of course, there is always potential for the Russian joint venture partner to be more tricky and create more delays. But I think he should now understand that actually the Georgian Mining Company have the upper hand here. They hold the cards. The Russians could easily get kicked out of Georgia. It's not necessarily necessary for anything like that. But they are on shaky ground. They're not that popular with the government, and whereas Georgian Mining are very much in with the locals and ready to go ahead.
Okay, all right, marvellous stuff. So, I mean, you see it pretty much as progress here, yeah?
I think they're going to do a little bit more drilling and metallurgical test work on the gold ore before they start trucking it to the plant. That won't take very long. I haven't got a timescale on it yet, but I suspect weeks more than months. And I do see cash flow starting here, certainly within months, and then hopefully further work on what is being described as a world class copper resource underneath that. And the great thing is the whole thing sticks out of the ground, so there's zero strip ratio. You can actually see the heap leach pads where the gold will be processed from standing on the top of the hill. It's all very close. It's all there. They may or may not use the joint venture partner copper flotation facilities. They may decide to build their own, but it's nice to have the option of using facilities that are already there and in place.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's move on to vanadium. I saw your coverage of that. Now, for people who have no idea what vanadium is, give us the basics, John. What is vanadium and why is it getting so hot?
Vanadium is a metal that is generally used for hardening steel. The Chinese recently raised their standards for the amount of vanadium contained in rebar steel, which is mainly used for construction. They are ensuring compliance of this type of steel in construction in China. The Chinese are also building a massive vanadium redox battery for helping to manage grid power in China. If you're running wind farms, when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine, you need grid battery storage to back that up. So that's where vanadium redox batteries look really good, much longer lifespans than lithium grid storage battery installations, and actually maybe even competitive from a price perspective.
Explain that. So lithium, if you want to store electricity, vanadium is better for storing or is it better for reusing? Or what's the key difference?
Vanadium is, well, it's an alternative to lithium power for grid storage. Mm. And it should be more reliable and it should be longer lasting and therefore more cost effective. These very large grid storage facilities are relatively new. There's a big one in Japan, now a big one being built in China. In fact, another one being planned in China by the entrepreneur Robert Friedland as well. And there's a company in the UK called Red Tea, which is looking to do a number of smaller scale grid storage facilities, which sounds very interesting. So this is a growing area, and we know people who are looking to do something similar in South Africa.
Excellent stuff. Okay, cool. And I mean, it's worth looking at. And if people are looking for exposure, what group of metals do they normally come with then, John?
Vanadium often comes with magnetite, iron, sometimes comes with graphite. Quite a lot of vanadium was coming out of stone coal, where I think production has really effectively stopped in China. Also, vanadium was coming out of tateno magnetite ores, again, where we think production is severely restricted. And so the market has tightened up and vanadium prices have trebled over the last 18 months.
Lovely stuff. Okay, marvellous, John. Good to chat to you, and hopefully chat next week, fella.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are as follows. At five, Bushveld Minerals, BMN. At four, Savannah Petroleum, SAVP. At three, IQE. IQE, that's a ticker. At two, I spoke to Lawrence earlier, it's Ferrum Crescent, FCR. And the number one most followed company is Rehobold Resources, RBD. Okay, here are the top five most liked RSS in the last 24 hours. At five, Alliance Gold Limited, that's exercise of warrants. Lion is a ticker there. I don't know why I do that, I just sound stupid. A bit embarrassing, really. At four, I spoke to Lawrence earlier, Ferrum Crescent,
conditional equity fundraise to raise £1 million. Listen, in my mind, it's a turnaround story. And I like Lawrence. I've spoken to him a couple of times. I like Miles, the guy behind as well. And I think, you know, the, like I said, it's had a bad reputation, FCR. They're changing the name. They've changed the board. They've got a refined strategy. They've got money to carry out a major part of that strategy. So, yes, it's a microcap stock. It's very risky. It's about a 3 million market cap. And after the fundraising, a million of that will be cash. So I think, you know, it's very risky. Do your own research. Investing in these tiny companies is very risky. But, you know, I actually like it. I do hold shares in the company. Like I said, I try and be as transparent as possible. And I say, do your own research. I've written a blog on this company. And please, use that to start maybe your research if you, you know, don't know where to start. But I would always start with RNSs, personally. I would also start with RNSs. Then I go to a presentation on the website generally look through that. And use my cash system that I use. I always stick to that. And the C and anyway, I won't go on about that. Anyway, but do your own research. Nothing on this podcast is investment advice, okay? First and foremost, you hear that audio at the top and at the end of the podcast. Nothing is investment advice. Like I said, it could be all misleading, could be all wrong. That's why you have to check and double check. All right, URU Metals, board changes, change of advisor at number three. At two, Blenheim Natural Resources, Brand Shield licenses, launches ICOs, sorry. That's BNR. And at number one, SDX Energy. I spoke to Paul Welsh a while back on the podcast. I think it was Friday. SAR2 Well, test results, and Spud of LNB1 Well. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Storm Winifred, I'm delighted that Vox Markets will be joining us at the UK Investor Show on April 21st in London. Top name speakers, Mark Slater, Nigel Ray, Vin Murrier, myself, Matt Earle. 130 companies presenting, people you really want to meet. Get a free ticket now. Go to www.ukinvestorshow.com/tickets and use the promotional code VOX and it'll be sent at once.